Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Dan Spillane, the Vice President, Assistant General Counsel of the NBA, and from the PGA Tour, Andy Levinson, Senior Vice President, Tournament Administration. Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
How are you? Thanks for jumping on with us.
Great. Thanks for having us.
So tell us, why are you in town and why are you together in town?
We're in town to talk about sports betting. So the Supreme Court last year decided that states can legalize sports gambling, which was something that wasn't allowed for many years before that. And there's a lot of interest in states across the country in looking at that. And Illinois is one of them. And our position at the NBA is that sports betting can be legalized and it's fine, but it should be done the right way. It should be done in a way that protects consumers. It should be done in a way that protects the integrity of our competitions. And there should be a partnership between sports leagues, the state, the gambling operators to make sure that we're all working together to have a successful business and to make sure that everyone is able to participate safely.
So in the state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker talked last month about projections and how it could be a bill could be on his desk as early as May, which isn't that far away. And the budget calls for possibly, he's counting on $200 million in upfront revenue from selling as many as 20 sports betting licenses. So if Illinois is going full steam ahead in this direction, what are some things that you think are cautionary tales or things that they need to worry about as you kind of move ahead, because there's a lot of positive momentum here and there's a lot of good things that can come from this, but anything that, what are the biggest maybe worries?
I'll start a few things. One is to make sure you do it in a way that's safe, where people are going to be able to do it with all the proper protections in place. And one of the things that we're looking for is sports organizations to have toolkits to be able to protect the integrity of our competitions, to be able to investigate rules violations, get alerts of unusual activity, and things like that. Another important piece of our position is competitive mobile, that you should have a competitive mobile marketplace with multiple operators competing each other, driving good products and innovation. And that's something that's going to be shifting people who are betting in illegal offshore markets right now to legal onshore markets where it can be regulated and taxed. And I guess the third thing I would say is that other states that have legalized betting so far haven't done it in a way that embraces partnerships with sports organizations. And I think Illinois has a unique opportunity at this point to do something different, to say, look, we're going to make leagues partners, teams partners, players partners, rather than keeping them at a distance. And that's going to make more money for the state. It's going to be better for the success of sports betting here.
Again, that probably comes with a cost, right? And that's what the consumer is worried about. If right now when you're doing your offline stuff, you're paying a certain VIG for your wagers, but how will the state benefit by including the leagues into what they're doing? Because obviously that's a little bit of the piece of the pie, right? And everybody wants a little share.
Well, conceptually, the leagues would invest in the state of Illinois. They would invest marketing resources and so forth to grow the pot for everybody. So having the leagues involved, having us monitoring the activity and making sure that it's safe, it's a safe environment for everybody to participate in, but also encouraging people to engage in the activity is going to help everybody. So ultimately, I think for both the operators, the state, and the consumers, it's going to be a win to have the leagues involved.
Andy, you're coming off a weekend that probably in golf history, you know, that was one of those moments that stands out. It's got to be among the top, certainly in modern sports history, with Tiger Woods winning the Masters. When you look at the, obviously the interest in the game will be will be as high this summer, you would project, as it has been in years. The sports betting, sports gambling, the growth in, you know, that industry, will that have any effect on golf and its growth? Do you see that happening independent of the Tiger effect or in conjunction with?
Well, I think we saw a benefit to sports betting, to legal regulated sports betting, with respect to fan engagement before last weekend. It's one of the primary reasons we've been engaged in this discussion publicly, the other being protecting the integrity of our competition. But certainly the opportunity to reach fans who aren't currently engaging in golf is something that we're very interested in. And last weekend was an opportunity for sports fans who may not be regular or even casual golf fans to get a flavor of all the different talent that we have out there and to experience something that hasn't been experienced in quite some time, which is a Tiger Woods victory of that nature. So it's a great opportunity for us to engage fans. And we do think that sports betting on golf will see an uptick.
One of the big stories that came out of this, some guy made a wager of $85,000 at 14-1, and what a great victory, won 1.19. And then now there's all sorts of suspicion that William Hill was behind that wager, and it's all a promotion of their site and their gambling. They took the bet that other Vegas shops wouldn't take. This is one of the problems when we're dealing with professional gambling, is that everybody's got an angle. Everybody's looking for something. You never know what's real and what isn't. And maybe that's one of the reasons it's important for the leagues and for the PGA and the NHL, everybody to get involved, right?
That's exactly right. And that's why we're here today. That's why we've been engaged in states that are considering sports betting legislation, because transparency must be an element of any responsible sports betting legislation. We should all have visibility, whether it's the leagues or the operators or the regulators. We should all have visibility into the activity that's taking place so we can monitor it and make sure that bad actors aren't influencing any aspect of it.
So, Dan, I think what we're talking about, they've referred to as an integrity fee. Would that be a fair way to put it, or something like along those lines? And when the leagues develop partnerships and maybe get a cut of that, how long before the players' associations and the unions from respective leagues will want a part of that as well? And is that all included in the same sort of discussion? Because I can just see this, you know, certainly understandable why the leagues would want to get involved in this, but then the players are going to be like, hey, where's ours?
So great question. So just to set the table a little bit, one of the things that we're looking for in the legislation is a quarter percentage point of the handle, which is the total amount that's bet, to be paid to the league or the sports governing body that the bets are being placed on. So for the NBA, if there were $100 bet on an NBA game, then the NBA would receive 25 cents of that. And the reasons for that are, number one, that it's being bet on our product, a product that we've invested billions of dollars in. And you couldn't have sports betting without the underlying sport. And normally, when you build a business on someone else's business, you give them some compensation for that. Sports betting, even when it's regulated, creates risks for our sport. There's more of an opportunity for scandal, for things to go sideways. And so it compensates us for that, too. And it just recognizes that we got to spend more in this new world where there's more gambling on our games. It costs money, it costs time, and we're going to be doing all of that. So whether you call it a royalty or integrity fee doesn't make so much of a difference to me. It's just recognizing that we are the creators of what goes into sports betting. As far as the players, we've really already resolved that in our collective bargaining agreement. So NBA players share roughly half of the revenue that's generated from NBA basketball. And to the extent that the NBA would be receiving a share of betting proceeds, the players would share in that.
So the argument against that would be that illegal gambling is going on forever and people are not giving up their share. If the government takes over it, the individual state takes over it, they get all that revenue. While it's admirable to pay an integrity fee, it hasn't been necessary to this point. And, you know, 25 cents on 100 doesn't seem like a lot of money, but how does that affect the person that's laying down the cash? The government would have to take less of a hit, I would imagine, because you don't want the consumer, because then they'd stay with the offshore stuff, and it's hard to regulate all that. So I get all of it, but what would be the benefit of having the league involved? I mean, Would there be on-site gambling that would be approved by the league? Could you go to a Bulls game and lay some money on, I don't know, who's most likely to hit a half-court shot, whatever it might be? I've been to soccer games in London and Europe, and you can go in and make a wager before the game begins. It's kind of a fun little thing to do. What is the benefit? What does the consumer get out of it if they have to pay a higher percentage?
Sure. So starting with the first point you made about offshore markets, it's true that they haven't paid that. And not surprisingly, the mob and, you know, sportsbook operators in Costa Rica that are operating illegally are not really interested in having those types of discussions with us and paying. But of course, I would collect that if I had some way to do that. but as far as what is the state, what does the taxpayer get out of it? That's really, I think, the core of this.
Right.
And it goes back to what I said at the beginning, that we're looking for a partnership with the state where leagues are invested in the success of the business. Giving us a percentage, giving us an economic stake in the success of sports betting in Illinois means Illinois is at the front of the line when it comes to where are we going to invest marketing resources, where are we going to be pushing our partnerships. Illinois is at the top of the list because we actually have a financial stake here, and hopefully we'll also have a framework in place that's going to protect us, make us feel comfortable that we have the tools that we need to protect the integrity of our competition. So it doesn't really take much in terms of growing the pie for the fee to pay for itself. You only have to go up about 5% in overall business in order for the fee to pay for itself. And then after that, it's all just a benefit to the state, to taxpayers too.
Why haven't the other states jumped on board then?
Well, the Supreme Court decision that opened all of this up was in May, and only two states have actually passed bills since then, New Jersey and Rhode Island. Didn't do that. Most of this was all fully baked before then. And so when it comes to just looking at where we are in the process, and, you know, from no one state really having legal betting in the U.S. to someday dozens will probably, you know, if we're looking at it as a basketball game, we're in the third minute. We're very early in this. And I'm hopeful that if you ask me that question 2 months from now, I'll actually be able to say, here's a couple states that have done it. We've got some momentum now.
Talking with Dan Spillane, the Vice President, Assistant General Counsel for the NBA, and Andy Levinson, the Senior Vice President for the PGA Tour. And you guys are here on behalf of your respective leagues. The MLB partnership is also a part of this. What about the NHL and the NFL? Are all leagues on the same page as it in regard to this sort of quote-unquote integrity fee and the need for a partnership?
Well, all the leagues are engaged in discussion about sports betting because it's going to impact their business, and it's going to impact how they protect the integrity of their own competitions. But as far as public engagement to date, we have a coalition with the NBA and Major League Baseball, and so we've been engaging at the state level with those organizations. The NHL and NFL have yet to engage at that level. The NFL has been focusing a lot of its attention on trying to get federal legislation around sports betting. But again, it's in all of our best interests to have a voice and to make sure that the league's interests and the integrity of our competition and protecting our fans is being considered when new laws are getting passed.
Why did Vegas never pay any kind of integrity fee? Because that's legalized gambling. So
sports leagues historically kept betting at arm's length. We didn't engage with it. Right. We didn't want to talk with gambling operators. We didn't talk with regulators and lawmakers for the most part. It was just keep it as far away as we can. And so when Nevada was passing its laws and putting its regulations in place decades ago, we didn't have a seat at the table in those discussions. Times have changed since then, right? So gambling is more accepted in the U.S. You got lotteries everywhere. Casinos are more widespread. We've seen in our international business how legal sports betting can work in a safe way. And the biggest thing that changed is just seeing the massive illegal betting market in the U.S. Trying to shut it down just hasn't worked. You've got tens, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars being bet illegally on sports in the U.S. And so we've changed our view that, you know, rather than keep it at a distance, we should engage with it and try and make sure it's done the right way.
Guys, thanks a ton for
coming in.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Really, very interesting.
Enjoy
Dan
Chicago today.
And Andy Levinson. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.